Ryan Burrow, of course, from WGN Radio, works for ABC News as well, and he has been in Houston this week. He joins us now. Hi, Ryan. It's John. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and you might hear a lot of activity going on around me right now because I am at Pastor Joel Osteen's church, the Lakewood Church. There are a couple things going on here. First of all, this is being designated a FEMA evacuation site, so some of these evacuees are being bussed in here. They're being kind of allowed to sit down and wait a little bit, and they're setting up beds up in a gymnasium area they've got upstairs. They've got it kind of sectioned off, a family with kids side and a individual side, or people without a children side. And they're going to kind of play this by ear. They're hoping FEMA comes in here and they can figure out things like food and showers and various things like that. But for now, they're accepting them. And the other hand, you've got all of these people who are driving up by the truckload, coming up with arms load of supplies, blankets, pillows, diapers, baby formula, clothes. And this is actually one of the drop-off sites now for the city for these kind of supplies. So that's what's going on.
I'm glad you're there, Ryan. You know well that Joel Osteen has taken a lot of criticism in the last 24 hours for not opening his facility up soon enough. And the explanation was that it was itself flooded or flooding or near flood waters. Can you tell us about the condition, how able it is to accommodate these? Do you see evidence of that?
So I talked with a spokesperson about all that, and he said, look, the doors have never been closed here. They had three people that have been here through the storm. They do have a first level, a lower level, that he said is just notorious for flooding. He said regardless of whether it's a hurricane, they get flooded, they flood out. So some of the pictures that were posted about the flooding were from that location. Now, they are not using that spot, that first floor, in any of this, whether it be the distribution center or the evacuees, and they won't from here on out. But they said that they were never alerted that they would be an evacuation site. FEMA had never alerted them until today, and as a result, they weren't exactly prepared to be an evacuation site, but they are now, and they're ready to go. And it looks like people are coming out in the hundreds to either provide donations or, you know, take part in the evacuation section.
How many people will they be able to accommodate?
He said thousands. It's really just a gym upstairs. I don't know if that's necessarily possible. They may have to move some people to some other locations. They're still kind of waiting for marching orders from FEMA to see how this is all going to work out. The food situation seems to be one of their biggest concerns, because they don't have a kitchen that would be big enough to handle, you know, hundreds upon hundreds. But they said that maybe, you know, when FEMA comes in here, they'll have some solutions to them, and they can move on from there. But, you know, as far as, you know, all the criticism and stuff, he says we were always open, and, you know, we've always had people on staff. It's just we weren't designated as an evacuation site until after the George R. Brown Convention Center filled up.
Is it raining there right now?
It is. It's not too hard. It's a sprinkle, but you know, it just won't stop, and it doesn't sound like it will until maybe late tomorrow.
I get the sense that, you know, you drive along and then you'll see a washed out road or neighborhood, and then it might be elevated enough that it's dry or passable again. Can you talk to me a little bit about what getting around in Houston has been like the last few days?
Nearly impossible. I mean, it's just. You know, some of these people who are evacuees, their homes didn't even flood. It's just they're essentially on an island. There's no way to get off of it. And so when occasionally a boat goes by, or a person in a military style vehicle goes by, they say, do you want to ride? And it's like, well, who knows what's going to happen to me if I don't. So they'll jump on and get to one of these sites. So, you know, but on the other hand, too, you do have some very serious flooding, especially around these dam areas and where the reservoir is. Not only are they releasing water into some of these neighborhoods, which caused a big problem yesterday and a lot of the evacuees to have to flee their homes, but the water on top of that is actually going over the lips of the reservoir. So even with the release, it's still as though someone's got the faucet on and it's still going over the sides of the bowl.
It's amazing to me how ad hoc some of these relief or rescue efforts are. Is there a sort of coordinated canvas, like we're going to do the northeast sector first and the government's got boats and trucks and they go and get everybody, or is it just everybody kind of piecemeal putting it together?
Well, the main focus is people who are in life-threatening scenarios, and that's where the police and fire have really turned their attention to the most. Everyone else, anyone who's fine, anyone who's in knee-deep or ankle-deep water and can get out on their own, a lot of citizens have been helping out in that perspective to the people who can't physically get out. There is a neighborhood specifically today that police are focusing in on, and it has to do with these dams and the river and the water flows, especially a section of about 2,000 homes in the subdivision. They are going door-to-door in that area, making sure that everyone is out. But, yeah, it, essentially, it's been based on response. It's been based on demand of a certain area, and they're getting tens of thousands of 911 calls, and they have to kind of pare it down into the most needy to the people who might be able to get out on their own.
Ryan, have you noticed at all an ebb and flow of emotion? Or what? I mean, can you speak to a mass or group emotion, what it's like there these days?
Well, you know, we've seen different segments of this. We've seen the flooding. Our local affiliates have been much better at getting out into the neighborhoods to see some of these, you know, boat rescues and helicopter rescues, just because, you know, they know the neighborhoods a lot better, and they can get out to these locations pretty quickly. Yesterday was pretty incredible at the George R. Brown Center. We knew that it was going to hit that 5,000 capacity just by the way people were streaming in. It was just an incredible mass of humanity walking through those doors. And by this morning, a capacity of what was supposed to be 5,000, it's 12 to 9,000. And FEMA and the Red Cross said, look, we're not going to turn anyone away. These people are seeking shelter right now. And, you know, we're just going to make do with what we've got. But today the mayor said, you know, we're going to add 2 or 3 more shelters just to try to ease some of the tension there. And so it's had a different feel each day. You know, we've had, you know, a very zombie look from people who had escaped it. We've probably got some days coming up where there's going to be a lot of anger and frustration with not getting answers and, you know, not getting supplies to the right people. So it's still very much in movement, but it looks like the rain's lightening up again. So maybe that's an optimistic sign. Maybe that's a good sign that recovery can begin.
Any last observations from you, Ryan? Anything else you want to pass along?
Can I ask this question?
By all means.
Because, Ryan, we're getting texters who kind of want to know just how you're doing it. Like, where are you staying? How are you getting around?
Yeah,
we're at the Doubletree, which is actually really close to this church. I could have walked here. I wasn't quite sure the path. But, you know, we are above ground. We haven't flooded. I can tell you each day that goes by, the food options are becoming less and less. We've talked to staff. They said we're essentially running out of food. You know, there are no grocery stores, although it sounds like the Kroger may have opened today for a few hours to very, very long lines. And it sounds like the Costco may have opened up, but the lines are very, very long to get in there as well. You know, we're safe. We're in a good spot. We all travel together, which is key because you don't want to get stranded out by yourself. And, yeah, they've been long days, but it's been much longer days for these people here. And, you know, we'll get through this. And, you know, fortunately for me, I get to go home eventually back to Chicago. And for these people, they'll have to deal with this probably for weeks and months ahead.
You know, we have these two images. You can imagine what it's like listening to you up here, Ryan. On the one hand, it sounds desperate, people flooding to shelters, their houses ruined, everything gone. It's impossible. And then you're staying at the Doubletree. And yet that's all in the same geographic area. It's very strange to kind of comprehend.
It is. And to be honest with you, too, the Doubletree that I'm at is now starting to take in some people who don't want to go to these, you know, evacuation sites. So people are coming up with their bags. And I've interviewed some of them, and they said, you know what, we had a chance to get a couple nights here. We're going to take it rather than, you know, sleep on cots. We're going to try to do this. The hotel says it's full now, so, you know, there are no more rooms at the end.
What's a gallon of gas going for there?
You know, there aren't many gas stations open. 216 is what I saw, so not terrible.
All right, Ryan. Stay well. Thanks for your time. I understand you'll be visiting with Roe a little later on this afternoon. We'll be listening. Ryan Burrow from WGN Radio in Houston.